Blog Talk Radio.
When I was a little girl,
tuned into Blog Talk Radio. Your program is the Old Ship of Zion, and your host is Overseer Janice Ward. I am so delighted to be able to come again across these airways and skyways, bringing unto you the divine word of truth. I hope and I pray that you had a beautiful time in service and mass on yesterday, or last evening, should I say. And I know that God met you there. Hallelujah. And so I just want to just send condolences out to each and every one that has lost a loved one in your family circle, in your business circle. Hallelujah. And just may God bless you and just lift your spirits during these times of sorrow. Hallelujah. And I want to just extend again my gratitude for each and every one of you that remain a faithful and loyal listener of the Old Ship of Zion. And God is going to bless you for doing so. Hallelujah. As I far say every time that I come across these airways, is that God loves a cheerful giver. May it be in your time and your talent, whatever you render unto God, Christ Jesus, he will bless you. So I just want you to know that, hallelujah, your work is not in vain. By you listening, you know God is writing it down in the Lamb Book of Life. So I just want to thank you so graciously for tuning in, and may God richly bless you, you, and you. All right. We're going to now go on into our opening prayer. So I'm just asking those of you to just come aboard and get your laptop, your iPhone, and your tablet, and just come aboard. Hallelujah on this morning. I've opened up the chat room, so you can just come in and have your good seat, and we will go on into the Word of God after we finish our opening prayer. So I'm just so delighted and just so honored to have you in the midst on this morning. And once again, God bless you, you and you. All right, we're going to go on into our opening prayer. And so I'm just asking you to bow your beautiful heads, if you will, while we go down in prayer. Father God, hallelujah, we come with a grateful heart of your sovereignty and your love unmeasured, God. We thank you, oh gracious Heavenly Father, hallelujah, for just enabling us to assemble here again, God, around the spectrum. Father God, for we know that this journey, God, that we're on, we know that this is not our earthly designation, but we know that you have lying in waiting, God, a home that's not built by mortal man, but you are the craftsman and you are the creator, God. But until you crack those clouds one of these historical days, God, we will continue to mount up before the four corners of this earth, from the north, south, east, and west, as pilgrims through this barren land. And I'm asking you on this morning, God, to anoint these lips of clay. Able me to bring a rhema word, God, to those that may, then again, may not know of you in the pardons of their iniquity. Grace me, your servant, with words of encouragement, words of wisdom, to each and every one that are hurting deep down in the epitome of their heart and very soul. These and other blessings we ask in your Son, Jesus' mighty, marvelous name. We allow the temple to say amen and amen. Hallelujah. All right. Those of you that not sure of what station you're on, I want you to know that you're tuned into the Old Ship of Zion. Hallelujah. And your host is Overseer Janice Ward. And I will be with you. I'm scheduled to be with you 1 hour on this morning. And so I just want you to just, like I said, just get out your mobile devices and you can follow along with me as I go into the Word of God, and you can write it down or log it into your smartphone, and, you know, for further reference, and you can go behind me as I go into the Word of God. Hallelujah. I just thank God for each and every one of you. Oh, I just tell God that, you know, God is just so awesome. I tell you, God is just all right. I tell you, and if it's anything that's not right, that's with me. Because God is all right. I find no fault in him. All fault lies in ourselves. So thank God for this opportunity, to be able to come across these airways and skyways. Hallelujah. Bringing unto you the divine word of God. And so I'm going to just introduce my program just momentarily, and I'll be right with you. But anyway, I just wanted you to know that God loves his children. And I tell you, I'm just constantly listening to the radio, and I tell you, it's just so much devastation out there, you know, with the flooding of thousands and thousands of homes and residents without even a car to even get around. But as I first stated on the last program, your latter will be greater than your beginnings. Hallelujah. All you got to do is just turn to Jesus. He's the only one. He's the only one that can help us. Hallelujah. And so if you just focus your eyes on Jesus, then that's all you need, because God is going to bring you out and you will have better. I'm serious. You will have better than before. I've been in your shoes, so I know what it is to lose and to have all your possessions just gone. But like I said, God is going to bless you. And so for your inconvenience, you're going to get double, triple, quadruple for your inconveniences. You know, God is a God that he can do anything, but it's with one exception, and that is fail. We know that there is no there's no failing in God. We fail and we fall short of the glory and honor of God, but we know that there's no failing in God. So right now, we're going to take you on into a service that's already, hallelujah, in progression. Thank you, Jesus. I just thank you, hallelujah, for just, you know, you could have been asleep or doing anything else that you so desire to do, but I just thank God for putting the Old Ship of Zion on your heart to tune in on this morning, and God bless you. Hallelujah. And I know that those of you that has lost such a great, hallelujah, way, that God is going to bless you sooner than you think, because God has angels all around. Every single one of us has an angel. I mean that you have an angel, whether you know it or not, that's watching over you. Hallelujah. And he's going back and forth consulting with the Father on your behalf. Hallelujah. So I just want you to know that trouble is not going to last always. But there's going to be, hallelujah, a day of harvest. And your harvest is coming. All you got to do is just keep your faith. When all else is gone, you keep your faith and know that God said he would never leave you and he would never forsake you, but he would be with you until the end of the earth. Hallelujah. You know, we leave God, but God never leaves us. God is always, always by our side. And he said he would never leave us, nor forsake us. So that means that you and I are never alone. We might be alone bodily, but spiritually, we are never, ever alone. So our sermon on this morning entitled, Holiness is the Forecast. I'll say that one more time. Holiness is the Forecast. And we know that throughout the ages, we know that holiness, hallelujah. Let me get my gear here together. Holiness has been one of the marks, hallelujah, of the church. And noted that the word from the Apostle Creed says that I believe in the Holy Universal Church. We know that we are living in a society that emphasizes the welfare of the individual at the expense of the common good. We often, though, we lose sight on the fact that we are called not just to live as holy individuals, but also to live as a holy community centered in God's presence. A community that manifests his truth and actions, hallelujah, in this world. And overemphasizes of personal holiness without consideration of our life in the community is a corruption of the Christian faith. We know that the holy living is more than following rules for in Jesus Christ. We have been set free from the law. We have been taught by God to let love be our rule. And we also know that in the earlier Christian experiences, a pervading sense of the presence of a God who chose them and cared for them both as individuals and as a community. The Thessalonians were challenged in three important areas: community life, human and sexuality, life, home, work, school, and church, or private lives. Even in small groups, Paul instructed them in these areas and urged them to walk and to please God. So you and I would bound more and more. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of 1 Thessalonians 4:1. Hallelujah. And so we're going to read our first key scripture on this morning, hallelujah, and it reads like this, hallelujah. It says that, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. And that scripture reading is coming out of the law of 2 Corinthians 7:1. All right, we're going to move on down to our second key scripture, and it reads like this. Set your mind on things above. That scripture reading is coming out of the law of Colossians 3:2. Hallelujah. And so we're talking about a lifestyle of holiness. You might say, Overseer Ward, I just can't see how I could live out that type of life, you know. I mean, that would keep me from my friends that, you know, attend clubs and, you know, they attend topless bars and hallelujah, and then they're meeting up with someone else's husband, Mr. Jones, wife, and Mrs. Jones' husband, you know, and you find out that just living for God seems too dull and void, you know. But we know that this earthly life that we're living, may it be spiritually or naturally, that this life that we're living right here is only temporary. So that lifestyle of, you know, going down and joining and meeting up at Lover's Lane, that's just temporary. You might be going to the honky-tonk and the Jew joints. We know that's temporary. You might be attending the topless bars. We know that's temporary. You might be going in, meeting someone in a Holiday Inn hotel. But we know all of that is temporary. Hallelujah. And we know that after everything is said and done, we have two choices. And those choices is to live, hallelujah, life of righteousness or a life of sin. And the Bible tell us to choose ye this day who you're going to serve, because God knew that we couldn't serve both God and mammon at the same time. We have to choose who we're going to serve. And so if I was you, and we see the way that the world is going to be, we find out that it's not getting any better, but it's getting worse. And so if I was you, I would make sure that I would have God in my corner. I would have God in my life. Because holiness is not a complicated lifestyle. All one is doing, the Bible says, is that he cleanses you and I from all sin. The things that we done in the world. When we come to Christ, when we make Jesus our Lord and Savior, and to live for him continually, daily, then God tell us, he said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit. So that means that the things that you used to do, you don't even have a desire to do those things anymore. The places that you used to go, so those honky-tonks and those Jew joints and all of those places, you know, the topless bar and all of those things that you love to do when you was in the world. When you get over here in holiness, you do not have a desire, because God takes away old self and replace it with a new self. So you are not the same person. You might look like the same person on the outside, but on the inner shell, you are a new creature in Christ. That's what the Bible tells us, that you are a new creature in Christ. And so God says that my yoke is easy. So it's nothing hard about God, living for God. He says my yoke is easy and my burdens is light. Hallelujah. So we know that living for God is nothing that's impossible if you have your mind made up. You have to have a made up mind. It's just like you getting up in the morning and you getting ready for work, and you've been on your job 25, 30 years, and you know the routine. You get up, you know, and you get your clothes on, you make your face, and you get your lunch. You've already prepared your lunch that night. And so what you do, you go on out and lock your door, get in your automobile, and you go to your workplace. So that's a routine, because you are dedicated to your job. You're going to work, because if you don't go to work, then you won't have any funds. So you go to work. Well, that's the same way it is serving God. Every day we serve God, and we serve God wholehearted. Don't mean that we want sin or the devil won't bring negative things into our heart, because he does. But we can always tune him out, because you can pick up the word of God and start reading a scripture or reading a Christian magazine, brochure, cutting your radio on or cutting your CD, putting a CD in your in your tape deck and just listening to a song, just a Christian song, and that will run off the devil, because, see, the devil don't like God. And God don't like him either. He's not crazy about him at all. So, but like I said, living holy will enable you to live this lifestyle out. You cannot live it any other way. You cannot. Because the Holy Ghost gives you power. The Bible says that ye shall receive the Holy Ghost has come upon you and I. See, those are tools that you can fight the enemy with, because the enemy will be coming from every corner with a slug. He's swinging, and he's trying to get a TKO. He's headed for a technical knockout from you if you don't beat him first. See, so holiness is what it's going to take for us to make it into heaven. We cannot go in no other way but living a holy and sanctification lifestyle. Now, what we desperately need today is to recapture a sense of our communities and our life as an expression of this holy living. We know that holy living begins with the desire to be used by God. It's reflected in faith and action together in a community life. Holy living is nurtured in the ministry of God, in the preaching and the teaching and the sharing and the caring of God's saving love in the communities of which you and I are a part of. Then our daily living becomes a witness to incarnate words, and we are empowered to influence others. In this living for God, you and I and us, the one apostolic, holy, and universal Christian community in every place is liberated to hear what the Spirit is saying, hallelujah, and to go where the Spirit is leading. Community life, as sculptured by God, is indeed an expression of holy living. And so we're talking about holiness is the focus. Holiness is what the world needs today. Because Jesus said when he come back and he cracked those clouds in what we call the rapture, that means that Jesus will come in that cloud, big gigantic cloud. I mean, we would be just like little micro dots in the hand of a great big old gigantic God. God can hold his world in the palms of his hand. Just imagine that. God said he's coming after a church without spot or wrinkle. So that means that he's coming after church without blemish. Not saying that we would be sinless, but that we would be blameless. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name. And we know that this Christian life, it takes work too. It requires commitment of one's whole being to Jesus, starting with our body, our mind, and our emotions, and a will to have life in that it is wholesome and attractive, uplifting to others, fulfilling oneself. Even then, we can weed out selfishness and sinful attitudes that can quickly spring up and overrun the spirit and the fruit of God. We know that the problem with many of believers at Corinth, they had become overgrown with envy and divisionists. But Paul told them to cleanse themselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. That scripture reading is coming out of the law, 2 Corinthians 7 and 1. We know that by holiness, hallelujah, it means that every day we are continually, even if you think something, you don't have to do anything, but if you think anything that enters the mind and that is not like God, is a sin. So, like I said, it didn't mean that we wouldn't be sinless, but we would be blameless. And so we can ask God to help us to uproot any weeds of the flesh and the spirit before they become ugly habits. And may the beauty of Jesus' character be what others see in you and I. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. We know that for some people, the word holiness, it conjures up images of stuffy and prude people who are good in the worst sense of the word. You might think they are full of self-righteousness. Most people long for the truth and the goodness, but yet that they desire to be frustrated by what they see in some Christians, whom they perceive as self-righteous and judgmental. But to unbelievers, such virtue is far less interesting than vice, with the results that they cling to their vice, even though they may hate them. We know that one sanctimonious hypocrite make 100 unbelievers. What that the would that the world saw the real thing. We know that the extraordinary quality of life of which Peter speaks is a life to wholesome and attractive holiness, living in righteousness before a holy God. And it will draw the peoples to the Savior. Hallelujah. Peter says that in 1 Peter 2 and 12. Says to live, hallelujah, alive, wholesome, and attractive. So we want to live a life that others would want to find out about. You know, you meet people in the supermarket, in the laundromat, the post office, at the bank, and you just start up a conversation, and then you find out that both of you have something in common, namely the Spirit of God that dwells deep down inside of us. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. But see, if only 10% of the world population had holiness, hallelujah, then we know that the whole world would be converted and happy by the end's year. We can have it. As we yield our lives to God's Spirit within us, we can live lives of uncommon beauty before a watching world. Hallelujah. The Lord will beautify the humble. That scripture reading is coming out of the law. Psalms 149 and 4. Hallelujah, Jesus. We know that beautiful faces are those that seem with the very love of God to be. Beautiful forms are those that grace with gentle service the lowest place. So God wants you and I to live so that others will want to know Jesus. There are people that want to know God, but they don't know how to get introduced to God unless somebody like you and I come along and telling about the goodness of Jesus in our own personal life. They can find out, too, that they, too, can meet God. They can have a life of holiness and wholesomeness as well. Hallelujah, Jesus. Bless your holy name. Yes, so today is holiness is focus. Thank you, Jesus. Holiness is the focus. The Bible says peace. We should be in peace with all means. And holiness without no woman or man shall see God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We got to live this life out, this life of holiness before a watching world. We know in today's Bible reading, the Apostle Paul emphasizes that followers of Christ needed to keep eternity in view. So he wrote, set your minds on things above and not on things on the earth. That scripture reading is coming out of Colossians 3 and 2. You and I can choose where to put our focus. We can sunk them to selfish, earthbound thoughts, blurring our views of anything beyond the ends of our noses. Or you and I can gaze through this sinful scene, tension on things above, where Christ is seated at God's right hand and we with him. Then and only then are we in position to see what's most important in our life. Only the mind set on things above can say no to sin and yes to holiness. These choices is yours. Hallelujah, Jesus. You can pray and ask God on today to help me to watch and pray. And on thyself I rely. Let me never my trust betray, but press to the realms on high. We know that the only way to see life clearly is to focus your eyes on Christ. So our sermon on this morning has been, holiness is the focus. We got to be holy. And holiness is the most beautiful, sacred life one could live here on planet Earth. It is you in the world. Because we have to live here, so we have to be in this world. But the Bible tells us that we don't have to be of the world. We live here on planet Earth, but we don't have to take part of what the world is doing. And so we are set aside from what the world is doing. You know, we have our own itinerary. We have our own places that we go for recreational enjoyment. You know, there's beautiful places that we can go and travel abroad and just see the beautiness of Jesus. You know, But you have to have your mind made up. That's in anything that you do, even, you know, in exercising, you have to have your mind made up. In walking, you have to have your mind made up if you're going to walk a mile a day. You have to have your mind made up if you're going to walk a mile a day. Hallelujah. And just like I first stated, you know, when you get ready to go out there to your car, you got the confidence that when you put your key in the ignition switch, that you're going to turn the switch and your car is going to crank. And if it doesn't, then you know there's a malfunction. And so you're going to call the roadside assistant or your mechanical advisor, and you're going to have your car serviced to see what the problem is. So I'm just saying that to live this holiness lifestyle that I'm talking about, you have to have your mind made up to put away the former things, the old you, like I said, you know, the things that you used to do. You don't have a desire to do those things anymore. You used to drink alcoholic booze, but you don't have a desire to do those things. You used to smoke cigarettes, or you used to smoke joints, or you used to smoke crack cocaine, whatever your preference was. God has delivered you, and you don't have a desire to do those things anymore. You might was, you know, disloyal in your marriage, but now you have a mindset to go home to your own self husband, to your own self wife. Those of you that's not married, to wait on God to send you that husband, because, hey, you know, the Bible says that good things come to those that wait. So all you got to do is just wait on Jesus. Hallelujah. All you got to do is wait. Hallelujah. Wait on Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I don't know what's going on with my battery's going down. I don't know what's going on here. But I'm binding that demon right now in the name of Jesus. I'm binding that demon. Because this battery, if it's going down, which should have went down a long time ago. But I am going to finish out this program as God has directed me to do. Because I am on a mission. That's a mission to win souls for the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And just like I first stated, that when you are holy in God, you are a new creature in Christ. You take off that old sin for you, and you put on a new clean you. You're cleansed in your heart. That way that God can come in and take up resident inside of your heart. God will not take up resident in our heart if it's unclean, in an unclean temple. God cannot, will not, shall not. But if our heart is clean from all, you know, impurities, it is filled with the Spirit of God, engulfed with God, then God will live inside of us. God will live inside of you and I. And you can go every day and not miss nothing that you once did in the world. Because it's all just temporary. You know, it's all just temporary, just fun and game. And at the end of the day, when life is over and someone has to preach your eulogy, I don't think you would want that person to not have anything to say because they know anything about you. They don't know anything about your lifestyle. Did you turn your life over to God? If you did, then somebody would know about it. And then they would be able to tell, you know, the preacher that was doing your eulogy that you was a man or woman of God. And that what you used to do, that you don't do those things anymore. Where you used to go, you don't go there anymore. Why? Because God has changed your heart and your mind. Hallelujah. God changes us inside out. And God does not do a half-done job, but God do his work well in us. And other peoples can see the Christ that's in you. God said that we are the city that sits up on a hill. So we are to let our light shine, hallelujah, before a watching world, you know, and you will be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Because the devil, you know, he never rests. He never takes a vacation. The devil is always knocking at somebody's door, messing with somebody. Because, see, that's his M.O. His M.O. is to steal, kill, and to destroy. Because he loves no one. He doesn't even love himself. Because if he loved himself, then he wouldn't have left heaven. He would still be up there in heaven with Jesus. And this would be a holy nation. We wouldn't know anything about sin. We wouldn't know anything about, you know, fornication, adultery. You know, we wouldn't know anything about that. This would just be a holy nation. But like I said, Satan don't even like himself. So you know he doesn't like you and I. Everything that he wants for you and I, he wants the worst. He wants us, he can care if we just drop dead, just drop on off the face of the earth. He could care less. He don't care if you're riding or walking. If you're walking, you desire a car, he say, oh, you don't need no car, keep on walking. You know, and then if you unemployed and looking for a job, you say, well, you know, I'm looking for me a job. You put out many resumes for your job. Devil says, oh, you don't need no job, honey. You just, you know, just, you don't need no job. You don't need no money. You don't need nothing, you know. Just keep on sleeping up under the tree, on the corner, on the overpass, under the overpass, wherever, you know. He could care less. He doesn't care about you and I at all, at any time. So don't let him make you think that he cares about you and I, because it's all a hoax. It's all deceit. It's all a lie. He doesn't care about you and I. And he don't like it. Those of us that are living for God and living out this life before God, he don't like that either. If he feel like, you know, he could come in and twist your mind and to tell you, you know, you could give up your life of Christ and serve him, he would do that. But like I said, you know, he doesn't like you and I. So I know that I got my hand in God's hand, and that's where I'm going to keep it. I wouldn't dare look back into the world. For what? There's nothing out there. And if you got your hand in God's hand, keep it there. Because one false move might be your last. So if I was in God, I would keep my hand in God. If I didn't know God, I would get to know him today. And you'll find out that you miss so much. Living a holy life before God in a watching world. Hallelujah. I guess I'll end it here because my computer is telling me that my computer is down. So I'm going to go ahead on and end this program right here and look like I'm not going to be able to bring any Hymns of Zion on tonight. But forgive me. And it's just, you know, like I said, it's just the enemy. But we glad that we got our message over for tonight, and we thank God and thank you so graciously for tuning in. And until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. You have been tuned into the Old Ship of Zion. Your host has been Overseer Janice Ward. Hallelujah. And so we're gonna now end this program right now, and I might can get one song in. I'll see, but I may can get one song in. I just don't want to lose the program. So until we meet again across these airways and skyways, you're encouraged to go in God and allow God to go in you. Bye for now. Buckle up with Jesus at the wheel, for he is people friendly.